Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor for Intersection Live, and you are listening to episode 20 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast today. I'm here with my regular co-host, John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit and also a national expert on everything document management for accountants. So good morning, John.
Good morning, Darren. Happy Monday morning.
Same to you. Got a good topic today and pretty timely. We're going to talk a little bit about strategically integrating DMS into your tax preparation workflow. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I think that'll be a good topic at this time of year. It's basically the 1st of November, 2nd of November, and some of the things we'll talk about, we've covered bits and pieces in other podcasts, but this is a good time to for practitioners to think about some of these things because it gives them a few months to put something in place if they need to make some changes for tax season.
Hard to believe that Thanksgiving is just a few weeks away, and once we hit Thanksgiving, then we're virtually in tax season. It's getting close, so good timing. So why don't you kind of lay out the groundwork for us on the DMS and your tax prep workflow?
Okay. Well, I think the first place we should maybe have some discussion is, making the decision about when exactly you want to scan your documents in. And this is really probably the most important decision you'll make relative to how you integrate your document management system into your tax prep workflows. And there's basically, three options. There's variations of these, but there's three main choices you have. And we'll go through them in more detail, but we call them back end, midpoint, and front end. And so let's start with the back end scanning. And this is the simplest approach and the most basic. And what we're talking about here is really not dealing with the scanning issue until after you've completed the tax engagement. And so that's why it's easy, because you're really not having any impact on your workflows other than at the end of the process, instead of going to the paper file room, you're putting your documents in the electronic file room. And
well, really, John, the issue, I mean, there, that's just not keeping paper at the end, right? It's really not about a document management system through the workflow. It's just about not keeping paper at the end. And what I've seen in all the surveys I've done, the majority of practitioners seem to adopt this model because, like you said, it's probably the easiest and the least impact on changing anything that you're currently doing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because, if you do a survey of practitioners, you say, who's paperless? Inevitably, you'll get a large number who will say they're paperless, yet they're doing is scanning at the end of the process and just filing electronically. And, to me, that's just like getting your toe in the water. It's really not going strong.
Yeah.
But it's a good place to start. Having said that, for those that are a little bit gun-shy about the whole concept, it's a great place to start and just get comfortable with that model. And just a couple of suggestions if you go down that path is that relative to getting your documents, at the end of the engagement, you're going to have all these different files. You're going to have the tax return. You're going to have the work papers, both the scanned copies as well as the client paper copies, as well as what you might generate in Word and Excel and so forth. And so we talk about in our Adobe training a couple of things to be aware of that you can do with Adobe Acrobat. And one is you could, at the end of the engagement, you can go into Adobe Acrobat and say, okay, I want to take, client John Doe client 2009 tax directory on my drive and take all the files in there and convert them into one big PDF file. So that's a nice, relatively easy way to get a collection of different file types and and convert it all into one static PDF document. So that way next year you can just go back, instead of having to look at 15 different files, you can just go in and navigate through that one PDF. You can also do the same thing with Outlook. So for those listening who have Outlook folders, and if you have all the messages that you keep for a client in a specific folder, at the end of the tax engagement, you could go in and say, all right, I want to take all the email messages that are in that client's folder and convert them into one big PDF file. So with basically two steps, you could have a pretty consistent archiving of both the files that are on your hard drive as well as all the email messages related to that engagement, and then you just have really two PDF files to deal with. And you could, in fact, if you wanted to go the next step, you could merge those two files together. So okay, that's the back end, and that's a good place to start if you haven't put the pieces in place to go further.
Even on the back end, John, you could use one of these services like a Copanion or a SurePrep or a CCH scan to just, even if you're just saving them on the back end, but you want them to be bookmarked and sort of organized.
Yeah, sure.
You could still use one of those services to kind of accomplish that and get you a better scan and a better system for storing at the end.
Absolutely. And for those who aren't familiar with the tools that Darren just mentioned, these are tax scanning tools, and their main purpose in life is to basically take a stack of unorganized client 1040 documents and scan them into a single PDF file, organize them, identify them for the types of documents they are, and create the Acrobat bookmarks, and in some cases also create a transmittal file that will literally take data from those forms and pass it over to the tax software. So in a back-end scanning mode, the value would be at least you can more easily get those documents in an organized single PDF file, and it can be a real time saver. They have much more value if you use it on the front end, but as Darren says, they still have value at the back end as well.
Sure. Okay.
So that's back end.
Go ahead.
And then if we kind of move backwards in the process, the next approach to scanning that some firms will deploy is what we call midpoint. And midpoint scanning simply refers to the model where the tax return is still essentially prepared in a paper-based environment in a traditional manner. But then when the preparer is done with their work, before they send it off to the reviewer for technical review, they would actually route the files and the documents over to the scanning operator so that everything gets scanned in and the reviewer is doing everything as far as the review online as opposed to a paper-based review. So it's a good next step from back-end scanning. And a couple of things to keep in mind that you want to have in place if you're going to go this approach is at this stage you definitely have to have dual monitors so that you can have one monitor to review the tax return and then another monitor to review the supporting work papers. And as we've talked in the past, a lot of firms are really moving pretty quickly to a three-monitor configuration so that maybe you want to look at the current year work papers and prior year work papers and then the current year tax return as an example. And there's many other applications for that.
And again, John, in this mode, it's probably even provides a little bit more value to add one of these sort of outsourced models like we talked about the Copanion or the SurePreps or the CCH Scan or even Thompson's new scan product, because the reviewer now can get an organized bookmarked PDF to review on screen. And oftentimes a lot of these vendors have tools they can use, whether it's in Adobe or in their special products, to tick mark and to create legends and things on work papers, right?
Yes. And, that's one of the most difficult aspects of going truly paperless is at the reviews process, because that's where you need to be able to annotate and to quickly move through and look at supporting documentation and so forth. So anything you can do to set that environment up so you have consistent structure of how the work papers are organized, which is where those scanning products come into play, and any supplemental tools to work with Adobe Acrobat to help you just be able to more effectively annotate, whether it's review notes or putting tick marks on the documents electronically or running a virtual calculator tape and pasting it onto the document. Anything that you can do to help the reviewer work in a model that, as funny as it may sound, emulates what they're used to doing in a paper-based world, because that's what they're comfortable with. And so you want to give them all the tools you can to do the same kinds of things virtually on the computer screen with the mouse and the keyboard and such.
And, John, some of those tools would be, I mean, you could certainly do that in Adobe, in the full version of Adobe. You could do it in, I know Thompson has those capabilities inside of File Cabinet CS. CCH has a program called PD Flyer that will allow you to do that. I believe Act First has a program called Tick, Tie, and Calculate. I'm probably missing some. SurePrep has a nice one. I think it's SurePrep Express that allows you to do that. Any others I'm missing, John?
That seems like you got all the big names out there, and
okay.
You know, that's a good point. Also, when you're looking for a document management system, if you haven't purchased one yet, what you'll find is typically the vendors approach it one of two ways. Either they rely primarily on the use of Adobe Acrobat as the annotation and PDF viewing tool, or they may have some proprietary tools built into the document management system, as you mentioned with File Cabinet, for example, from Thompson. So take a look at that to see what the vendor has to offer. And, then there's also the third-party products like Act First. Their Tick-Tie Calculator is a generic solution, so you can use it with any DMS. And, again, those are all tools that are just going to make it more of a fluid environment for the reviewer to be able to annotate the documents as they're doing their work.
So really, in this midpoint, as you stated, the idea is that somebody prepares the return from the paper copy sitting in front of them. Then before they send it on to review, they go ahead and scan it in, and they either bookmark it or they use one of these services to bookmark it, or they don't bookmark it at all. But that's sort of the midpoint process, right?
Yeah, and the recommendation from a best practice would be to bookmark it, and actually and this is a good time of year to be doing that, is really just to sit down and have a representative team that is involved in the whole process to say, okay, let's standardize what is our organization model for the work paper file, what are our standards for what kind of tick marks we want to use, so that you can really get some consistency into the workflow before you get into the knee-deep into actual tax season.
Okay.
The other thing I'd point out is if you do the midpoint approach, you really want to avoid sending the paper files along with the electronic files, because what will happen is inevitably people will go back and work with the paper documents. They'll start inadvertently, even in some cases, making annotations on the paper documents, even though everything is also online. Then you've got a problem. Now you've got some paper documents that have been modified, and you're going to have to rescan those in. So when you send them off to scanning before they get reviewed, keep the paper documents in scanning or somewhere off, out of the workflow, so that they don't get referenced during the review process.
I know, John, maybe we're making an assumption here that most of our listeners know that they need some sort of a document management system in general, whether it's File Cabinet CS or CCH Document or Act First or whatever the program might be. They have to have some place that they're storing all these digital documents, by client, right?
Yeah, and if they don't have a document management system, then of course you're using Windows Explorer and setting up some kind of a folder structure, which is it's okay. It's better than nothing, but that's where you really start to see the value of a document management system, when you can compare the approach that a DMS will use to organizing the files, as opposed to having to set up your own directory structure in Windows Explorer.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so then the third option is the front end scanning, and this is where you really want to ultimately evolve towards, but it's a bigger change, because you're really going to take. When we say front end, what we mean is that the documents all get scanned in before anybody really starts working on the engagement, and so you're. By the nature of this model, your whole workflow is truly paperless, And that's what you want to get to, because when you have everything in electronic form, then you have a lot more flexibility in, you know, how you can move that engagement through the office, whether the people are working physically in the office or people are working remotely from home or when they're on the road. That's a real advantage when you have everything scanned in and it's completely electronic. You really kind of cut that tether to the office, and you know, people will appreciate that, especially in the middle of tax season if they want to do some work on a few tax returns at home instead of having to stay at the office till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. But more to the point, when you're front-end scanning, this is where those scanning tools we've talked about have the most value, because you literally just drop your unorganized set of 1040 documents into the scanner. You create one big PDF, and you'd upload that or process that through the whether it's ProFX Scan or Copanion's GruntWorks or SurePrep, and out the other end comes as we've talked, a very well organized, bookmarked and a highlighted file, so that you have a clean set of work papers to begin the process with, and it just makes it a whole lot easier to do the preparation, so you don't have to really fumble your way through a lot of documents. They're going to be easy to find what you're looking for and make the preparation process pretty efficient.
So the idea is that somebody brings their tax documents into your office. You have a scanning person, let's say, who's competent in this area, and that person scans these documents in, and they go ahead and have them processed by the, let's say, the SurePreps or the Copanions or the services that we mentioned. And that person that does the scanning then takes those physical documents and puts them in an envelope or something like that and leaves them at the front desk, and then the process starts to prepare the return without those documents flowing through the office. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. So it is truly paperless workflow, and then you come back to those actual paper documents at the end of the whole process and just marry them back up to the final tax return or somehow get them back to the client so they have the original copies back if they, in fact, want them.
So one of the challenges there is making sure that you're getting good scans on the front end since you're preparing from that, and then also that all documents got scanned in, that you didn't have documents that got stuck together and things like that. So what's some best practices around that?
Yeah, we're big proponents of centralized scanning, which really means having one or two people as your dedicated scan operators so that you can train them in exactly what you want the quality control procedures to be, and you'll get a whole lot more consistency. If you have distributed or decentralized scanning where everybody's kind of doing their own scanning, you're going to get a wide variation of quality control. And, you may get lucky and it may not be an issue, but the fact is it's with all the scanning that goes on, there's going to be some errors. And so when you have the dedicated scan operators, one of the things to do is to have a manual page count, so that they can compare the actual scanned image pages with the manual page count. You should also have the scan operators literally just visually look at one page at a time. And I don't mean reading the page. It's just doing a visual review, just kind of paging down. So if it's a 100-page document, it might take them, a couple minutes to cycle through that. But they should be just making sure that every page got scanned properly and you didn't get a sheet folded over or, halfway torn off, because those will be the originals. And, all it takes is getting halfway through the tax prep process and somebody says, where's the other half of this 1099? And then they spend 45 minutes trying to, find out where that original is so they can get the data they're looking for. Other things, scan operators should definitely be instructed to keep that scanner clean. Sounds like a basic thing, but there's so much paper dust that gets accumulated that, last thing you want in the heat of tax season is your scanner down, and if you only have one main scanner, you got to figure out how to get a backup in place as soon as possible. So a little bit of maintenance goes a long way in keeping those scanners operating at top efficiency. So those are just
questions.
Some basic things.
Yeah. One of the questions we always seem to get asked is, what speed of scanner should I be looking for? What DPI should I scan these in? Should I do them in black and white or grayscale? So what's your advice on those things?
Black and white works fine for scanning as a color setting, and generally 300 dots per inch is kind of the best practice number. You could go a little lower. You can go to 200 dots per inch. And the difference simply is the higher the dots per inch resolution, the higher the quality of the scanned characters that will appear in the resulting document, but it comes at a price of a bigger file. So higher resolution means bigger file, takes up more storage space, but more importantly, just takes longer to open it and file it, you know, close it. So 300 dots per inch works fine there. And as far as speed, you know, that's going to be relative to the size of your organization. But generally, if you get a 50 page per minute in that range, 50 page per minute scanner with a sheet feed, that's going to be pretty typical and is a good, you know, work group level scanner. And, you know, I think, in my opinion, if you have a high volume of scanning, then you're probably better off getting two scanners at that level as opposed to trying to spend a lot more money to go up to a 100 page per minute scanner. Because, you know, if you have two, then you have a backup, and in peak times, you can have a second person doing the scanning. So that would be an approach I'd recommend there.
A couple other things, John, we're starting to see roll out is the ability to scan it. Well, first of all, I mean, ideally, instead of just scanning something, it would be nice to get documents from our clients electronically some way. So whether it's that Fidelity statement or a Schwab statement or whatever it might be, you know, those are available in PDFs now. It'd be nice just to get those into our office in electronic format. So what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think that's something that every practitioner should really try to make an attempt with the clients to, you know, get them to send the information electronically. And, you know, just simply asking them might be a great first step, because a lot of people are getting much more comfortable using email, of course, and in attaching files to email. So if and many individuals have gone to where they're doing online banking and they're managing their investments online. So it's going to be, for them, relatively easy just to forward a copy electronically of the various tax documents to you. So I think it's just one of those basic examples of just start by asking, and, you know, maybe you go from 0% to 25% of your documents come in electronically. You just cut out a quarter of your scanning procedures. So I think anything you can do to encourage your clients, maybe you want to do a little like a show and tell, have a little lunch and learn or a little reception to bring your clients together before tax season, just let them know what's new at your firm and say, hey, by the way, here's some things we want to recommend for you to just give you a better service overall, and part of that would be explaining to them how to maybe generate PDF files. And that's probably, I realize for a lot, maybe trying to take it a little bit too far, but again, it doesn't hurt to ask, because a lot of folks now have Adobe Acrobat on their computers, and they're just looking for an excuse to use it. So maybe just give them a little insight into how that all works, and you might get more files coming electronically as opposed to paper-based.
The other thing I see rolling out this tax season is, I know Copanion is rolling out a new service called Trades. So the idea there is, if you get a Fidelity statement, and let's say your client may be a day trader, and so he's traded, you know, or she's traded, 100 trades or 1,000 trades, whatever it might be. They have the ability now, when you use their service, to take that that 1099B and carve out all the trade information, and it also, you know, puts it in an Excel spreadsheet along with the trade dates, and all you have to do is come in and fill out, you know, the missing information. It has the potential to save the practitioner a lot of time. Have you seen these at all yet, John?
Yeah, I've just seen a demo of that, and it's, you know, it seems to me to be a real time saver, like you say. I haven't, you know, done a tax return with that kind of a schedule information myself, but in a long time. But just when it can see all the potential list of quantity of transactions you could have to deal with, and when this will actually scan and convert it to an Excel spreadsheet, and we all know how flexible things are once you get them into Excel, that just seems like a great tool. And I forget the price. I don't even remember, Darren, what the price was, but it seemed pretty
easy. It's a cost per transaction with Copanion with a cap of $30. So even if you had 1,000 trades or 2,000 trades, it caps it at $30. I can't remember the per transaction cost up to that point. I just remember what the cap was. And the other thing we should probably mention is, you know, these services that we've talked about today, as far as the scanning services, those are running anywhere from $5 to $10 per per return, depending on kind of when you buy throughout the year, or if you get early bird discounts and things like that. That's kind of what we're seeing, for the average being, you know, really $5 to $7.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, I mean, just when you look at that price and the return on investment compared to doing what those applications do, trying to do it manually like you've done for years, many have in their offices, to me it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, just the economics seem like they'd be pretty easy to make it, justifiable investment. And I would encourage the listeners to go to the websites of the vendors that we've talked about. And you know, they always have, webinar demonstrations scheduled, or, you know, product brochures and some, you know, animated demos. And that's a great way, I think, just to learn what the different vendors have to offer, and you become more educated in what we're talking about in terms of specific features and functions that each vendor brings to the table.
You know, a process we didn't talk about, but, you know, even the next step in this process would be, okay, you've scanned these things in, you've got them organized, you've got them bookmarked. Now the next step would potentially be thinking about whether you want any of that data to go into the tax return. And so you would actually, you know, populate the return. And these tools have gotten a lot better as well, from what I can tell. What's your thought there?
Yeah, that's what we're kind of hearing on the street from people that are using them. What we're talking about are scan and fill tools. Many of the vendors we've talked about already have evolved their products where after it does the scanning, it'll actually read the data off the documents and transfer it over to the tax software and give you the opportunity to review it before it is finalized in the tax software. We've kind of come into the second generation of those tools, and there was a lot of negative feedback in the marketplace at the first generation, but that's because I think the expectations were higher than what they probably should have been. But now that these programs have evolved and the vendors have really moved them forward, they're more reliable. Is the bottom line in terms of the data that they generate, and they're still not perfect, but it's just a matter of saving you key punching time. That's the way to look at it. Instead of doing all the key punching and then reviewing your key punching, you're basically reviewing the software's key punching. So you still have to do the review of the data, but it can save you a lot of that busy work time.
Well, I definitely think it's worth taking another look at that, because that technology's been out now for a little while, and it's gotten much better, and it's worth a second look if you haven't looked at it again, or if you haven't looked at it the first time. I think it's worth a look at this point.
Yes, I would definitely agree.
Well, John, we're about out of time today. Anything else we should leave our listeners with on this topic?
Just one last thing on the front-end scanning. That's where you probably want to give serious consideration to a workflow tool. And we've done a podcast previously. I don't remember which number it was specifically, but you could look back at the archives where we talked. We had a conversation about workflow automation tools. But that becomes much more important than a front-end scanning, because you have a paperless engagement, so you need that electronic tool to manage that engagement as it moves through your office. So if you're going to go that front-end scanning route, I definitely would recommend looking for a workflow tool to deploy in that process.
Yeah, great suggestion, and there's several good ones out there. So, well, John, thanks so much for your time today. I probably won't talk to you until after Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Darren, and same to you and to our listeners.
And so we'll be back together the first part of December. So until then, thanks a lot, John.
Sounds good. See you then.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.